Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, many times on the podcast, you have heard me talk about the data becoming just as important as the payment itself. Now, on today's episode, we're going to dive into some great examples to highlight just how true that can be for merchants. Now, the trick is, though, having a payment processor that can collect the data and present it in an actionable way to give the merchant real actionable insights that not only adds value to the merchant, but their customers as well. So to talk about what it takes to deliver these insights, I have Scotty Perkins, who is the Senior Payments, Retail, Product, and Compliance Executive at Quisitive LedgerPay, Dan Devlin, who is the Senior Vice President of Operations at Quisitive LedgerPay, and Raymond Pucci, who is the Director of Merchant Services at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot to learn on today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show.
So Scotty, Dan, and Raymond, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. I certainly think it's very fantastic around this payment processing conversation that we're going to be having today. So let's get things kicked off here. So Scotty, much of payment processing is based on dated legacy technology. And I'm curious, how does this limit retailers from advancing in the payment space? And what other disadvantages do they face?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having us on. I really appreciate it. So in response to your question, payment processing historically has been based on a multi-layered legacy technology. And it's been pretty commoditized, not really so innovative. A lot of the innovation that's been happening has been at the very edges and not in, in the core processing capabilities. And that's one of the things that we're looking to try and help disrupt. With respect to the retailers, as a result, a lot of the payment processing systems have been very purpose-built to just process payments. They handle a very small amount of data, and that significantly limits the retailers and merchants generally with respect to what it is they can use of that data for purposes of helping their consumers and creating better offerings. So that's one aspect of it that we're definitely seeking to innovate on is increasing the value of additional capabilities of payment processing that is important. And then the other benefit of this from a limitations perspective is the merchants just don't generally believe that they're getting the value out of the payment processing that they could be. They're charging a lot of fees in multiple layers for what is certainly a necessary service, but ultimately is a pretty basic service. And we're eager to help provide additional benefits for payment processing above just the process of handling that transaction by itself. On the LedgerPay side, we absolutely agree that there are opportunities to take advantage of, we have a very strong relationship with Microsoft, a strategic partnership. Quisitive is the 2019 US Partner of the Year for Microsoft, based primarily on our expertise over several decades in doing cloud innovation. And so that's one of the reasons why LedgerPay came to be, is because we have a strong belief that certainly over time we will get the benefit of cloud efficiencies and cloud architectures, while also taking advantage of the key principles of doing core payment processing that Dan has enormous experience in developing.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm certainly very glad that both of you brought up cloud processing here, right? Because we're kind of going hopefully out with the old in terms of just legacy technology here and kind of implementing the new cloud processing infrastructure. But Scotty, could we perhaps kind of dive into a little bit deeper here of what are the exact advantages to retailers of implementing cloud processing infrastructure?
Well, I think in addition to some of the longer term potential of taking advantage of scale economies with operating expense, that's one dimension. But really, from our perspective, the far and away the biggest dimension is the access to data and advanced analytics. So the ability to take payments data, handle it responsibly, and then also to take advantage of some additional detail around what are the details of this particular transaction? What has this consumer executed before? What can we learn about that transaction from the existence of this consumer in this environment? And then how can we use the interaction of processing the payment to provide that benefit back to that consumer in the form of what's the best offering? What's the best promotion to deliver? How can we communicate directly with that consumer? And those are not typically things that payment providers have offered. And in many cases, merchants aren't even aware that they can be accomplished that way.
Right, Scotty. As we know, the payment it's a very data-rich transaction when a payment goes through. And merchants, especially small and medium merchants, traditionally, they've never had the resources or worked with vendors that can really supply them with a lot of this rich data. And that's the name of the game right now. Consumers want, personalized marketing offers. And there's so much that can be gleaned from a payment transaction for future payment behavior and shopping behavior. So I think that's such a key point for merchants to be able to take advantage with the data that comes through the pipe, so to speak. But just as important, the analytical part of it, to really be able to make informed decisions. And that's just going to, pay big dividends for them down the road with future sales from their customers and new customers as well.
Saying, yeah, I would agree with that for sure. And we all accept for the fact that it's a data rich, the traditional payment, payment processing world, I would argue, is data poor. So if you're a brick and mortar type merchant, you're getting very little data through the system. Most of the most valuable data, basically the purchase history, is just falling on the floor inside the merchant's location. And that's one of our main value propositions, is that we don't allow that to fall on the floor. And we're thereby, we think, dragging the payments industry from sort of the iron age in which it was conceived into the information age.
And then adding on to that and supporting Ray, what you were saying is this is where we get into the cloud analytics capabilities that we speak about. So, historically from a retailer's perspective and from a technology perspective at the point of sale, the role of the payments processor and the payments gateway is simply passing back, very small messages related to payment authorization. Should this amount be tendered at this particular point in time at this location or not? And where we're focusing is integrating the information about the payment itself with the information about the transaction around it. And that's when you start to get into the power of the machine learning. And a traditional 40-year-old payment processing orchestration for credit or debit card doesn't know anything about machine learning. But if you can take the information that you glean about who the consumer is, even in the absence of a loyalty program, and marry that up with, here are the contents of this customer's transaction, here's what this customer has done before, apply machine learning modeling to that, be able to provide the consumer with the best possible promotion, suggestions for very personalized and relevant experiences. That's really what we're aiming for here. And it's all to the benefit of the consumer, and indirectly to the benefit of the merchant.
Yeah, one of the things that I really like to kind of comment on is, I've only been really looking at the payments industry for the past 5 years, and I'll be completely honest, I honestly thought this was already done. Like what we're kind of looking at is new age technology. I thought all this information and data was already part of kind of the payment process. It knew all this information. So, it really kind of struck me in awe when I came to learn that no, it's really just kind of, basic information that's passed, whether, hey, yes, this payment should go through or not. I thought it was a very data rich, just because me kind of growing up in that age of all of this new technology, I had already assumed that. And then from a retailer's perspective, because I also come from an full-scale advertising agency, I look at and kind of go like, this data is extremely valuable to marketers at those retail locations, because from one of the things that I particularly looked at while I was at the agency was just media waste itself. So I think by having that additional information that's coming along with the payment, marketers, in particular that are in retail landscapes or at merchants, really, would salivate over this data, because now they can provide better marketing messages to the consumer and not kind of, buckshotting that out and saying, hey, you know, everybody, you should be alert to, you know, this particular type of messaging that we have here. You can really custom tailor it to particular to your particular potential customers, and that's gonna, they're gonna respond positively to that. But I digress a little bit on that. So now, kind of getting back to the subject at hand here, Scotty, I'd love to get your opinion on how does cloud processing infrastructure really kind of prepare retailers to keep up in this continuous evolving technology and economic landscape that we're currently in?
So it's a great question. I think, you know, one of the things that certainly happened over the last handful of years, and we see this in our consulting practice, is that the ability to provide real-time services very reliably using the cloud, there's been an inflection point where the doing this in the cloud becomes arguably the more reliable way to do it over time at scale, especially in a multi-region environment. And our platform has all of those capabilities fundamentally architected in them. However, you know, on the using analytics on the front end and pushing all of those services closest to the consumer, leveraging high-end connectivity and providing those services in a real-time manner. Using infrastructures like Microsoft Azure as the primary front end, over time they are incredibly cost effective now and will only get more cost effective over time. In fact, you know, historically, if you need to ensure to your customer as a financial services provider, you need to do things like ensure business continuity. It's actually in many cases a lot easier to provide business continuity assurances to customers, especially merchants that need to operate 24/7 like convenience stores and things like that on a multi-unit basis and multi-market basis. Providing those services on a cloud basis and leveraging the scale and elasticity capabilities of the cloud becomes an important factor in how you can provide that cost effectively to those merchants.
And Scotty, I know earlier you were discussing, you know, some of the advantages of the machine learning technology related to shopping patterns, but and I'd also like to add, not only in terms of what the consumer has bought in the past or what their preferences are and so on, but I know I've been seeing some retailers, and it's in early stages, are able to use seasonal and environmental factors that can get melded in with the machine learning algorithm. You know, is it summer? Is it winter? Is it a rainy day? Is it a snowy day? Is it a hot day? And merchants, especially in the case of restaurants, can take advantage of offering things based upon weather conditions and seasonal conditions. So the different, you know, aspects to the algorithms that can do more than just, you know, the shopping behavior of individual consumers.
Yeah, that's 100% right. And it speaks to something that Ryan was speaking about before. You know, I wanted to highlight what you had said, Ryan, around the fact that you sort of taken for granted that much of this was available in a brick and mortar basis. Well, I think that's something that you gain experience with just by using online experiences primarily. So this is clearly things that online retailers have been doing for a long time, being able to personalize and customize those experiences. The main difference between online and brick and mortar is that when you're doing this online, you're often logging in. Your history is being traced through things like, you know, cookies and such, and you're using a browser. Those capabilities for the retailer to know about you aren't available by and large in brick and mortar. And so in the absence of a historical loyalty program, in most cases it hadn't really even occurred to the merchant that some of those capabilities of the payment process could be responsibly used to gain that information and take that forward. And that's what we're proposing as part of our value proposition for LedgerPay, is we can have the same type of ability to understand what a consumer has done historically in not just in a location, but across the chain and potentially across chains as well, and apply those machine learning sensibilities, Ray, that you were just talking about. This is that you're trying to understand very dynamically. This is the promotion that this type of consumer should be offered right now. You use this the scattershot buckshot metaphor, Ryan, before. In many cases, if I'm a, let's say I'm a category marketing person in a retailer that's simply trying to get the right offer in front of my consumer in the way that's most relevant to them this week, if I've got 30 offers that are in market right now, and I don't really have any ability to determine which persona I'm interacting with at the point of sale, then you're pretty much going round robin. You're pretty much scattershot. You know, I may well go and offer the white bread promotion to the guy that's trying to go gluten free, and that's not super relevant. So, or if there are ways that we can proactively get around that that type of misfire on the part of the merchant and help them identify what is the most likely promotion to convert in this particular interaction with a consumer, and maybe even offer that in real time to the consumer while they're still standing there in the store, and take that promotion with them potentially for a bounce back. That's really the type of value that we add in this solution and why we're so bullish about it.
Well, I'll pile on there. This is Dan Devlin. And by the way, I dropped for a moment on my cell phone here, so sorry about that. But I did want to say, don't feel bad about that, you know, not realizing that the retail market didn't collect all that data. Most people are surprised by it when they see it. It's just sort of an obvious thing that you would assume everyone would be doing, but they're not. So, yeah, so just to pile on what Scotty is saying, the value proposition that we bring is that we, A, collect all that data that can then be piped into any type of analytics tool that you want in an offline manner. But then we can subsequently recognize the particular, anonymously recognize the individual consumer that fits into a certain category or is to receive a certain promotion. And then we're in the right place to deliver that promotion to them as well. And those are things, simple as they sound, that traditional payment processors can't do.
All right, now, Scotty, you know, as I'm listening to this conversation, and obviously we're talking a lot about the payments data or kind of the payments intelligence side of things, I'm very curious to get your organization's unique value proposition of potentially turning that payment intelligence into business intelligence. And perhaps maybe you could kind of walk us through what that means and how it is your organization accomplishes that.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, one of the key distinctions of our payments intelligence offering with respect to payment processing really involves being able to recognize in real time who that consumer is, and then using the sensibilities of the cloud that we talked about before, identifying what's the most likely, first of all, looking at the consumer's history and identifying what's the most likely way to interact with them right then at the point of sale, and give them that value back. So this is one of the key differentiating capabilities of what we're doing, and also why it's so important for the payment processing, being in the payment processing flow, why it's so important to add that value. So historically, and this won't be news to anybody on it, who's listening, who's been familiar with payments for a while, historically, a lot of the role of the payment processor has been taking the merchant out of that flow as much as possible, keeping as much of that information around the payment at arm's length. And we still do that to a degree, but because of the way we go about it, by having all of the payment stack represented in our implementation, we can provide all of the safety and security of handling that payment for the purposes of just handling the cardholder information, but we also bring in that additional rich information around the transaction around it, and then take that into the cloud, perform those analytics, and be able to return that as part of the return flow in the payment authorization, and do all of that while the consumer's still standing there in real time. So historically, there's been information that you can get in sort of a batch in an offline fashion, and if you know how to reach that consumer after they've long since left the store, then that can be valuable for digital promotions and so forth. What we're offering is actually getting that promotion that's very targeted and personalized to the consumer right there while they're still standing at the point of sale, right where they're in, and have each of those opportunities to interact with them be very actionable while they're still there.
And Scotty, I would say, following up on that a little bit, that related to you know, payments intelligence and knowing as much as you can on your customers, which is so important, that it's all about the engagement with your customers. And the higher that you can engage your customers, they're going to spend more per transaction, and they're going to come back more frequently. And merchants, you know, that's not rocket science, but again, you have to provide merchants and give them the ability to see the data and to have, you know, make those intelligent decisions in order to take advantage of that, of a high level engagement from their customers.
And that is absolutely correct. And one of the challenges for retailers is what in order to get that higher order of engagement with the consumer while they're in the store, what do they need to invest in terms of the training for the associates at the point of sale? What do they need to equip them with in terms of messaging, and how much do they need to rely on the associates that are interacting with those consumers to be able to accurately convey some of those promotions? There's been a longstanding misunderstanding that it could only be done by the store associates in an interactive fashion, and that was expensive and potentially problematic. Well, we take exactly the opposite approach, in that the point of sale and the flow of executing a transaction can actually be an incredibly effective.
All right, so Scotty, as I'm sitting here really listening to this conversation, one of the things that keeps coming up into my mind is obviously consumer loyalty and the potential that this data has really to be able to kind of really customize at scale consumer loyalty. And I know that's certainly one thing that can current consumer loyalties really kind of have a blind spot of. And I'm hoping that you can kind of break down to how it is that your LedgerPay product can kind of really shed some light on this blind spot, as it were.
Sure. And I appreciate the question. This is a really important takeaway for what it is that we're offering, in that. So historically, when retailers have wanted to try and solve the problem of I need to know who my customer is at the point of sale to provide them with the best offers and the best experience, the traditional solution to that has been to really invest heavily in incenting those consumers, as many of them as you can, to enroll actively in a loyalty program. And what's fundamentally different about our solution is that we actually don't need the consumer to be enrolled in a loyalty program in order to get most of the benefit of what we're talking about. In fact, we can provide all of these analytics and do the personalization, again, using the cloud-based sensibilities that I was describing before, to provide those personalized offers in the absence for those customers that aren't even enrolled in a loyalty program. They don't have to present their loyalty ID or card or anything of that nature at the POS in order to get these benefits. We can do it with any electronic card that gets processed in the point of sale for that transaction. So just by presenting their form of payment, we have a high degree of awareness of who they are and what they may have done in that environment before, and can personalize those experiences. And we don't have to, and the merchant can get the benefit of that capability without having to spend a lot on acquiring people into the loyalty program. And that can be really significant. We talk to very large merchants around the idea that, let's say I'm a merchant that has 10,000 locations in the U.S. and I do billions of payment transactions every year, but with all the investment that they may have made, that they still only understand maybe 5 to 10% of their consumers. So what we're really targeting is how do we get an understanding of as much of the rest of the 90% as we possibly can, and we can get very, very high degree of coverage for all of the electronic transactions that happen in the store just by being part of the payment process and without any other obligation on the part of the consumer to participate.
Yeah, I certainly really like that, because it really is about kind of delivering those key insights then back to the merchant or the retailer, so that way then they are better informed. And I mean, obviously we're talking about just kind of a specific use case here as it relates to marketing, but I certainly think that there's multiple use cases for how the data can be used, but it really is that first step of actually collecting the data that is really the most important, because without having that data, you're still stuck at that square one. And I think it's certainly very particularly interesting, especially given now. And I know that Raymond Pucci, certainly talks about this quite a bit on paymentjournal.com in terms of just all of the omnichannel and the different ways that consumers are now shopping, whether that be, you know, browsing online, then picking up in store, kind of a click and collect, a mobile order and pay, and all these other various methods. So it really is kind of that in-store data that really needs to be collected on then to be able to kind of tie everything together. So I certainly think that it's extremely, extremely fascinating. Certainly looking forward to talking about this with you, with both of you more in depth around this. But unfortunately, I think that's all the time that we've got for today. So Scotty, Raymond, Dan, thank you so much for taking the time today for talking to me about payment processing and the hidden problems that are involved with it. And I hope to have all of you back on the podcast real soon.
That'd be great.
Well, thanks very much for having us.
Thanks, Ryan. Take care.